Morning, everyone. The reading, the scripture reading, is from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may increase? No, by no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
I want you to pray with me. Merciful God, we thank you for your word. My prayer is that your spirit will work in all of us this morning to make it alive in our lives, to bless us with insight, to bless us with faith. May you speak to us because we are here to listen and we want to obey your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't have control over that, I'm sorry. So there was this this office executive who was interviewing a guy for an assistant position, and he wanted to find out a little more about his personality. Okay, so he asked him if you could have a conversation with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be? And so after pausing and thinking for a moment, he responded, I'd have to say the one who's alive. Or is it that bad? So we're looking at this passage from, you know, Romans chapter 6, and in verse 11 it says, you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So it says dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Paul says, see yourselves as being dead to the power of sin and alive with God through Jesus Christ. Now there was a time when Western movies were quite popular. You know, lots of people still today like to watch cowboy movies. Any of you, you enjoy that? And the plot is kind of like similar every time. You have the sheriff, right, the good guy, clean shaven. He's riding on a white horse. And then you have the bank robber, the criminal. He has a 3-day-old beard. He's riding on a black horse. And the bad guy robs the bank and then he runs from the law. And then he's being chased through the Wild West. And they put up posters everywhere with a picture of the person. And underneath it says, wanted, dead or alive. So the sheriff wants his man by any means necessary. Doesn't matter if he puts him in jail or in a casket. Just wants to get the guy, criminal, dead or alive. So what Paul is explaining to us in this passage is that God does not want us to be dead or alive. God wants us to be dead and alive. Dead to sin and alive in Him through Christ. So Paul says, so do you think we should continue sinning so that God will give us even more grace? No, we die to our old sinful lives, so how can we continue living with sin? Do you forget that all of us became part of Christ when we were baptized? We shared His death in our baptism. When we were baptized, we were buried with Christ and we shared His death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we also can live a new life. So he says, we died to our own sinful lives, so how can we continue living with sin? Now let me try and explain it to you this way. I used to live in South Africa, in case you didn't know that. When I was living in South Africa, I spoke Afrikaans. That was my language of choice. That was my mother tongue. That is my mother tongue. And then 29 years ago, when Annalise and I decided to move to the United States, and ever since, I have been speaking English. For a lot of obvious reasons. Now, has there been occasions when I was in a conversation and I kind of slipped back into my mother tongue? Yes, that has certainly happened. And will there be times when that might happen again? When I will lapse into Afrikaans? Most likely. And is it possible for me to only speak English? It is possible. I've been freed from the need to speak Afrikaans. I don't live in South Africa anymore. I'm in the company of people who speak English. I don't go to naughty Afrikaans speaking places anymore. I don't read Afrikaans magazines. So in that sense, I'm a new person with a new identity in a new country. I want to speak English. I might still lapse into Afrikaans every once in a while. But when it happens, I'm forgiven. And so this is the point I'm trying to make. Christ has evacuated us from the world of sin and death. And so we're no longer enslaved to sin. We don't live there anymore. It's as if we've been airlifted out of our former country and we don't have to say good morning in that language anymore. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are free to speak a new language and enjoy a whole new quality of life. And that's why Paul says, if we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? We've left the country where sin is sovereign. We don't live in our old house over there anymore. We've packed up and left for good. And that is what happened in your baptism. When you went under the water, you left the old country of sin behind. When you came out of the water, you entered the new country of grace. A new life in a new land. You've been freed from your sin fixations and your sinful orientations, and you can now walk in newness of life. You're dead and alive. Dead to sin and alive through Christ. So theologians have two words for this process of being dead and alive in the Christian's life. And the first one is mortification, which means putting to death the sin in your life. And this is the first part of God wanting us to be dead and alive. He wants us to be dead to sin. He wants us to kill the old self, not to return to the country and land which we've left behind, not to go back to the old person that existed before you became a believer and follower of Christ, the old self that gave in to, you know, to sin too easily. So Paul says in verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. In other words, our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. There was a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. We're no longer at sin's every beck and call. So does this mean that as a Christ follower, you are never, or you will never sin again? That you will never disobey God again? I think we all know the answer to that question, right? Unfortunately, not. We are still human beings. And on this side of eternity, we will make mistakes. We will struggle with sin. And that's why we have a prayer of confession. That's why we ask for God's forgiveness every single day. That's why we are grateful for God's grace in our lives. But being dead to sin means you're not dominated by sin anymore. Sin is not king in your life any longer. I don't live in South Africa anymore and don't speak Afrikaans anymore. I'm living in America, I'm speaking English. So you don't obey sin and live for sin. You obey Christ and you live for the Lord. It's an ongoing process, by the way. And it's called mortification, putting to death your old self. The second word is vivification. So mortification is about putting to death sin in your life. Vivification is about being made alive in the grace of God. Dead and alive. Since we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that Christ has been raised from the dead and will never die again. Death will no longer rule over him. So if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. And so in Christ, you've been given a new life. You've received a new heart. You've moved from your former country to a new one. You're speaking a new language. You're living by new rules. You have a new purpose and you have different goals in life. You're choosing to walk a different path. You're following a new leader. And his name is Jesus Christ. You're not who you used to be before you met him. And you don't want to do what you used to do. You are dead to sin and you're living for God in the power that Jesus is giving you. The love of God is now reigning in your heart and you are dedicated to Him. You are becoming more and more like Jesus all the time. dead and alive. Dead to sin, mortification, and alive in Christ, vivification. And it starts with the moment you become a child of God, and it continues for the rest of your life here on earth. And so the question then for all of us is, when we look at our own lives, do we find that we're mostly living in the new country, the place where you obey and honor your new leader, Jesus Christ? Or are you for the most part sticking to the language of loving God with your whole being and loving and treating others the way you love yourself and want to be treated yourself? Or do you spend a lot of time in the old country? Are you stuck with the old language of sin? So when you look at who you were this past week, how you acted and how you treated people and your thoughts and your deeds, how dead are you to sin and how alive are you in the way of Jesus Christ? Let me give you an example from my own life. A while ago, I was on the phone with customer service because I had an issue with my internet bill. Never been on the line with customer service. And during the conversation, you know, with the agent, I kind of like just completely lost my cool, okay? And afterwards, Annalise, my wife, pointed out to me that there was, you know, at some point I was yelling at her. And then I realized that, you know, there was no reason, right, for me to take out my anger and my frustration on this woman who's really not responsible for the complaint in the first place. And so what happened was I spoke the ugly language of sin instead of the language of love and life in Christ. I was not putting to death my old life in this conversation. My old life of darkness became very much alive instead. So instead of being dead to sin and alive in Christ, I was more alive in sin instead. And so you get the point I'm trying to make. So when you take a look at your own life this past week, what do you see? Were there times and were there places when you slipped back into the old sinful past? Did you lose your temper? Did you hurt someone with your words? Did you post something on social media that does not reflect your new life in Christ? Have you been compassionate to those who are hurting, to those who are suffering? Have you shown some understanding for those who have different opinions, who have different beliefs? Have you shown prejudice or judgment or love and grace this past week? How much time did you spend in the old country of sin and spoke the language of sin? So the great news is that we're now in a place where mercy reigns and never dies, where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where sin and shame are powerless, where we have peace with God and forgiveness, where love comes flowing down like a flood at the cross. At the cross where Christ's love ran red and our sin washed white. For those of us who belong to Christ, it is a journey. And we recognize where we still fall short and we confess our sins and our shortcomings. And because of God's grace, we receive forgiveness, and we pray for the Spirit to help us become more alive in the ways of Jesus, dead to sin and alive in Him. And so let me leave you with these words of Paul. And this is what we need to remember at all times. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we are grateful for your love. We are grateful for your grace, because without it, we are in a real difficult and bad place. We know that we still sin. We know that we fall short in so many different ways. But thank you, through Christ and faith in Him, that status before you has changed. You look at us with different eyes. Look at us in a different way. You see us as forgiven people. But you want us to continue to grow, to spend less and less time in the land of sin and more time in your kingdom. May you bless us with that growth in our own lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.